Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is August 22nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motivitality.com. That's where you can get, like, years and years and years and years worth of these things. And also, subscribing on Apple iTunes, it's not iTunes anymore, but Apple Podcast and Google Podcast, and listening there. So we definitely appreciate you guys being on here live. We definitely appreciate part of the, you know, having you on for a discussion, and the ideas that come from it. But also, I know that it doesn't fit everybody's schedule. So those of you that I talk to periodically, you know, that reach out to me because you've listened to these on recording, I really appreciate that too. And so, it does mean a lot, and I appreciate very much the opportunity to serve you in this way. So anyway, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week. And just so you guys are aware, I didn't really have a specific topic that I wanted to talk about. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about that are just sort of things that I ran across that I think are interesting. But in terms of a formal, official topic, I don't really have one today. I thought we would maybe get into a discussion here in a little bit about really, like, bad water, like problem, what's the worst we've seen, and kind of talk about that a little bit, because I ran into some stuff over the last couple of weeks that has been kind of interesting, and I just thought it would be fun to share. But we'll start the call off the way we do every week, which is by asking you guys, is there anything that happened this last week that you would like to talk about? Anything that you learned that you wish you had known before? I always like to ask that question, because even after 21 years of doing that, even just within the last couple of weeks, I ran into that, you know, where I'm like, man, I wish I had known that before. I wish I had prepped better for that. And I'll talk about that one in a little bit as we get into the discussion. But so something that you wish you had known before, anything to happen that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with, any questions that you have or thoughts that you have that we can help you with. Floor is open.
Kelly, I have one quick question, whether it's the people that are on the line or people that are listening to this later, if you could contact me with an answer if you have one. I posted on my Facebook page, we're looking for an inexpensive clock-in, clock-out, remote clock-in, clock-out system. We have a couple of remote employees that won't be going into the office every day. We're allowing them to kind of work from home as needed. And we just need an easy system. And our current payroll company, it's just kind of really expensive to purchase a couple of employees. So anybody that has something like that is like pay per user, fairly inexpensive, please reach out to me. That'd be awesome.
Okay. That would be nice. Of course, we start letting them clock in and clock out. That insinuates that we have to pay them. And so I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. But, you know, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
You sort of have to legally do that, right? You have to pay people. I hate that part. What else, you guys? Anything happen out here, in the industry? Anything that you guys ran into? Anything you want to discuss before we jump into me? You know, because it is really all about me, right?
Kelly?
Well, go ahead.
Bob,
yes.
I heard.
Hey, it's Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I'm obviously very new to the industry. But what happened with us yesterday, I thought was very interesting with the testing on the seawater, what results came up.
Yeah.
With the nitrate level.
Yeah, that was one I was going to talk about, but I love to hear you talk about it. Talk about it in your from your perspective. You know, because so you're 2 weeks in. I mean, you're in the middle of your second week coming into the industry. So kind of talk about it from that perspective on what happened and what it taught you.
Basically, I was thinking that whenever, you know, going into a home that has city water, that nitrates, I mean, I didn't think nitrates would really be in, would be a situation that you would run into. And if we just did the spin test, we never really would have known that there was an issue going on with nitrates.
Yeah, so let's explain what that is. So we have been using this new test kit. Some of you have probably seen it on my social media, this Spin Touch test kit. I think this is a really good thing to point out here. So the Spin Touch, this new test by Lamont, which is really awesome. I really like it, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and I'll ask actually Bob what you've heard customers say about that in a minute too. But the Spin Touch comes with two types of discs. So this is a little centrifuge. You take a little dropper and you put these eye drops in, and you have this little disc, and you tell it what type of water it is, whether it's city water or well water. And you press the button, in a minute or 2 minutes later, depending on the type of disc it is, it gives you a digital reading of results. And so you've got the city water, the treated water disc, and you've got the well water disc. And yesterday, Bob was testing on city water. The thing with the city water disc is it doesn't test for nitrates. It tests for chlorine and, you know, things that you would typically run into in city water and treated water. The well water disc does do nitrates, but the city water does not. So go ahead, Bob, and finish. Take from there so they understand what you're – so basically what you're saying is that we because we use the treated water, because it's city water, we wouldn't have known about nitrates. So keep going.
Right. So when we did the actual nitrate test with the other test kit, the nitrates were relatively, I mean, you would know better than I, but they seemed very high. And
so this is with the regular demo kit that most people use. So this is with the typical standard demonstration kit that we did. So just so everybody on the call knows, here, Bob, you tell the story, and then I'm going to interject and speak for like three times as long as you did. I want everybody to understand what were the impact of this, because so basically you have kind of learned how to do testing in the home on sales appointments. We've only used the Spin Touch pretty much going into the houses. And so I actually was trying to encourage you to learn how to use this other test kit, the basic kit.
Right.
So that's really the only reason you pulled this thing out, was because
right.
Because we were teaching you how to use the old, or, you know, kind of the demo kit with the numbers and everything.
You know, playing around with it and testing the office water. But when we tested the water over by you, I mean, I don't think I ever would have broken out a nitrate test before this, knowing how, you know, using the Spin Touch, I never would have brought the nitrate test out on for treated water. And it kind of, I guess, made another opportunity in the home.
Yeah, so this is one of those things very specifically that I can say that I learned that I wish I had known before, because I've gone run a few sales appointments with people out we're actually working on Long Island right now in New York. And I've kind of felt the same way. You know, you look at the consumer confidence report, and this is where this was a huge lesson learned for me, and one that I love that you brought this up, Bob. This is something I was definitely going to talk about as well. you know, when you read the consumer confidence reports, and for those of you who aren't aware of what a consumer confidence report is, I'll just briefly explain to you that that's part of, you know, the EPA's, the Safe Drinking Water Act. The EPA is required by law to make available the testing results within a year of the public water supply. And they often will read like a marketing brochure. You know, they basically, ours is the best. We do such a great job. You should have no problem sending us money for your water bill because we are on top of treating your water and making it awesome. It is true that here on Long Island in the past, they have had some, I mean, there's a whole like mixing pot of stuff that sounds and is scary. I mean, one of the things that I've learned about the water here on Long Island is that cancer rates in general are higher than normal as compared to other parts of the country. Now, whether that's because of the air, whether it's because of the food, the region, but a lot of people are suspicious of the water. And there are things in the water here, like even in the municipal water, like 1,4-dioxane. There's certainly PFAS, which, you know, if you're not familiar with PFAS, you will be because that is becoming a nationwide issue. There's the chromium-6, you know, which is the contaminant that was featured in movie Aaron Brockovich. I mean, obviously there's chlorine, at least there's not chloramines. They're not putting those here, so you can take that out. But nitrates is one of them that is there. I will tell you guys, I have rarely ever seen, so the water on average around here on the municipalities is right around three grains of hardness. This was something that has been really interesting for me to learn too. So the water around here is about 3 grains hard, 3 to 4 grains. The place that I'm predominantly staying at, for those of you who don't know, we are doing a lot of work with this company. And so it became cost effective to lease an apartment rather than just getting a hotel room and an Airbnb. And the apartment that we're staying in is municipal water. And the hardness there is about 6 grains. But I have rarely ever seen a market so aware as this one. It is such an aware market. And a lot of that's because the media, you know, of course, goes in and they see this stuff and they use these scare tactics and freak people out and like, oh my God, you know, this thing. And so the people are, a lot of times there's a real balance. There's a fine line. I mean, some of the other companies on the island definitely have embraced that media. And they, you know, look at the scare tactic. Look, this newspaper article says you're going to die unless you buy the system, you know. And those of you who know me know that I don't ever want to ever use scare tactics. But I also think that there's a legitimate concern with some of the stuff that's in the water, and we need to be taking it out. But, you know, I had read the Consumer Confidence Report for Port Washington, which is the town that I've been staying in. It's the town that Bob and I tested in yesterday. And in fact, this was the test that he's doing is at my apartment, is that you're referring to, right, Bob? So, you know, and I've had a reverse osmosis system for a while that I wanted to throw in here. It was just a matter of finding the time to do it. And frankly, I have been buying the 5-gallon jugs from the store. But just for basic stuff, like a quick little thing, I have one of those pure faucet, you know, the really good ones, the ones that were like $50 that I had on the kitchen faucet to take out the chlorine and, you know, the lead and their little micron filters, microfiltration. So about down to 1 micron or 0.1 micron. The Consumer Confidence Report for Port Washington says that they pool the water from about 12 different wells. They say that a couple years ago they had some issues with this stuff, but they really put in the treatment systems to make it all better. And I did test for nitrates here in Port Washington a couple weeks ago at a house because a competitor had gone in and had said, oh, nitrates are horrible in Port Washington. And I tested for nitrates and it came up at that customer's house, they came up non-existent. And I pulled the consumer confidence report, and it said, yeah, well, there was one well that did have elevated levels of nitrates, but that was the raw water that came out of it. And so the municipal system pulls from 12 different wells around, and depending on the water tables and the time of the, you know, the time they is what wells they kind of pull out of. But they said in this consumer confidence report that they had put all this money in to treat these nitrates and had reduced them down, and there wasn't a problem, and it was, you know, it was all low. And for those of you wondering or not aware, nitrates are generally come from pesticides, fertilizers, it could be sewage waste that has, you know, turned into high nitrates. Nitrates generally are only problematic for drinking for people with weak circulatory systems. So infants under 6 months old, it contributes to something called methemoglobinemia, which is blue baby syndrome. Nitrates prevent the red blood cells from carrying oxygen to the extremities. Okay, so that's why they call it blue baby syndrome, because the babies turn blue because they're and it's actually been the cause that they suspect of a lot of the SIDS. So for a healthy adult, not this huge, oh my God, you're going to die problem, but still not something we want in our water, to be sure. I mean, there's still, you know, pets drinking the water and all of that stuff. But I had tested for this. So when Bob tested for these nitrates yesterday, and the test was, I was like, holy moly, I'd been drinking this stuff. So just out of curiosity, we also tested through this pure filter, you know, that was on the sink. So that was the raw water that we had tested. And just on the color, it looked like it was well over 10. Okay. So it showed that it was, those color things, you look at them and it's so hard. You can tell, yes, you definitely have nitrates. You know, it was purple. I mean, it was on the test that we use. It was really purple and like dark, and definitely over 10 parts per million. The maximum contaminant level for nitrates is 10 parts per million. And so then we pulled out of curiosity, the spin touch, the well water disc, and we tested that. Do you remember what that was, Bob?
I believe it was 20.
20, yeah. So that thing came out and showed that we had 20 parts per million of nitrates. So there were a couple lessons that I wanted to discuss from all of this, a couple things that I really learned, okay? Number one, it was a reminder to me that consumer confidence reports they're written, even when they look like they're objective and honest, they're written like marketing brochures, and it is in the municipality's vested interest to people are paying the water bills, so they have to make people feel comfortable that they're doing a good job with it. And the truth is, they probably are taking a lot of the nitrates down, but things fail, you know, things happen. I tested the same water a couple weeks ago. I tested for nitrates just because there had been a competitor had come in that tried to scare the heck out of this customer, and I tested and there were no nitrates. But I'm new to the area. I don't know the consistency of that. And that's the other lesson that I told that customer, look, I'm testing for nitrates. The consumer confidence reports from 2 years ago say that they were nitrates, but now they say they fixed them and my tests are verifying that. I told the customer that I did not think there were nitrates in the water. I thought that I suggested that, they were looking at old, and this other company was. They came in, they had left them a copy of a 3-year-old consumer confidence report, one that came out 2 years ago from the previous year that did have like a lot of the stuff on there. The last 2 years worth of consumer confidence reports, the levels were lower, like way lower. They were about 5, the maximum that they had tested for supposedly was 5 parts per million. So based on the test right at that moment, and based on the last 2 years of the consumer confidence reports, I felt comfortable suggesting to this customer that nitrates was not a huge concern, and that this other company was misleading, at, you know, and now I still believe that the other, I think that it's wrong to use the 3-year-old consumer. I think that there were things that I have a problem with the way this other company was presenting the equipment, but man, do I wish, and in fact, it is my intent to call that customer back today and tell them what I found. And, you know, just for information, say, hey, I just want you to know I was a little wrong. Incidentally, I didn't get that sale. We did not get that customer, and that was, and I wonder if it's because I hadn't done enough research and wasn't aware enough of the you know, of the water in the area. The other thing on that one that I'm going to tell you something else that I learned on that one that I went to that was kind of interesting, and I've never seen this. In all the places I've been all over this country, testing water, working with sales professionals, going out, I saw something, and this is really common here now. I see it totally, but municipal water, you know, one of the ways that you can tell if there is, if it's municipal water or well water, obviously most people know, but it's incredible how many people around here do not know whether they're on well water or city water. And, you know, it's just not something they've thought about that much, but there are wells sometimes just interspersed in the middle of the municipal water. But usually when you have municipal water, when you have a city water situation, you go in and you find the water main where the water comes in, and there's a meter. There's a water meter attached to the water main. And so you know exactly, okay, yep, city water, definitely. Because you can, you know, in our well, you can always, you know, another way you can do that, you know, when you're looking, you're driving in, you look and see if there are fire hydrants and stuff like that. Although, you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes there's somebody that opted out of the city water that, and they wanted to keep their well or whatever. But usually people know, you know, this house that I think I messed up on, I went out and I saw the water coming in. There was a line coming in. There was no pressure tank. There was nothing. I really thought, I mean, looking at it, it was at the front of the house. It's where the water would normally come in. Everything made sense in doing the plumbing assessment, except there was no indication of what type of water it was. It was almost like I was looking at a line that was running in from somewhere else, you know, like there was a split off or something. So I went outside and looked all around to see what I could find. As it turns out, and I guess this is the wave of the future, the water meters are out, come right at the water main. They put them under the ground on the side of the road, way out by the road, and they're digital, and they have a little transmitter. And so all the water department has to do to read the meter is drive down the road, and a computer automatically reads the meter and generates the stuff. So there's no water meter, no visible water meter anywhere. And that was, I'd never seen that before. So I guess my point with that even is 21 years, you know, and I learned something new, which I always love when I learn something new. I love that. But I wish it wasn't, you know, cause I really feel like I might have, and I don't know for sure, but I feel like I might have lost an opportunity to serve this customer. You know, that somebody else that is willing to use scare tactics had an opportunity to put their equipment in. And that always bothers me. You know, I don't like that. I got to learn from those lessons. But, you know, so Bob, I'm curious, and I am going to shut up while you say this. You know, tell me, being new, you know, somebody new in the industry, what did that mean to you? What did that teach you coming into the industry? How would you, you know, how does it make you feel about it, and what does it teach you that you need to do, you know, moving forward as you're working out this way?
Well, obviously here, I mean, I guess you can see too that there is a lot of potential customers here with city water. That the full test kit might be necessary on a lot of those calls if the opportunity is there.
Yeah, so let's talk about that spin test for a minute, because you saw that. So when you say the full test kit, the demo kit, I you and I were talking yesterday about combining the two, you know, using the two test kits, putting them together, you know, kind of building a demo kit out of the spin touch. Because, you know, the flip side of that is, I mean, what was the reaction? And this was the very first sales presentation you ever saw. We walked in using the spin touch on Saturday on a sales presentation. And what was the first thing that customer said to us when he saw what we were using to test?
So the customer was very impressed, because it's a very professional piece of machinery. And he thought, I think the test for him validated it more than just a demo from the other kit, which was what he had. I believe he had that from another test he had, right?
So years ago in a house that in another state, he had recently moved here, but years ago he had had a water system put in, and somebody had come in and done the 3-hour magic show, you know, and in fact, he even called it a dog and pony magic show. And he said automatically, even before we had done anything, he said to us, he said, wow, I like you guys already better than the last people that I had do this. That looks pretty sophisticated. I mean, just from the very beginning, he liked that. But I think that what I learned from that, well, let me ask you, I mean, what did you learn from that? So you said carrying the other kit, and expand on that a little bit.
I'm sorry, which other kit?
The demo kit. So you know, you said sometimes you might have to use the demo kit, bigger kit.
Yeah, now that we did a city water test, and we did a full test, like we said, in your apartment, and the nitrates, like you said, were through the roof, that would be something I wouldn't expect from just doing a basic spin test using the city water disk.
So lessons learned as we kind of come to the end of the time, and I want to give everybody else a chance to kind of comment on this. Lessons learned here that if I could summarize, I would say this is why it's really important to do your homework, know what you're walking into. Information is knowledge. Read the consumer confidence report, but also read what's going on around that water. Know the area, know the water, know the technology, and do a thorough water analysis regardless of where you are and what you see. Even if you know the area, you think you know it, do a thorough water analysis. I think that's really critical. Anybody have any, we have 2 or 3 minutes here left. Anybody have any questions about all of this or comments or thoughts or a similar situation that you ran into?
Kelly, we ran into pretty much spot on the same situation when I was training with Jason and Corey. We grabbed a sample of water from my Airbnb I was staying in Cedar Rapids, and, you know, municipal water, and because we didn't have a well water sample, I said, well, let's just go ahead and test this. And we were going through the demonstration and all the testing, and so he tested the nitrates, and I just, like, my jaw dropped when I saw how purple it turned. And so then we pulled up the consumer confidence report, and, you know, they state that it's below the maximum contaminant level, but, you know, it's not far below the maximum contaminant level. And normally I would not have tested for nitrates on city water. So, again, that was lesson learned. And, you know, if anything, if you do the test, and it comes back as, you know, below detectable levels, then if anything, you're telling them, hey, you know what? You don't need an extra piece of equipment for this. This is good. That's same with, like, pH in most places. When you get a good reading, you know, it's a 7, then it's like, awesome. Well, you're not going to need an extra piece of equipment for this. You're telling them something good instead of all bad.
Yeah, so in the final comment on that I would make is, you know, what do you do when you do have it? What do you tell them? I mean, yes, I used to run into this with arsenic, you know, when we would test for it. Because nitrates, that is a health-related issue. And so what do you say? You know, do you say, oh, my God, this is, you know, yes, you got to treat this. You know, what I always said was, okay, so I feel pretty confident in these tests. They're pretty accurate. But I am a water treatment dealer. I have a vested interest in selling you something. So my recommendation to you is to take this sample and have it verified with an independent lab, somebody that can be objective. If they verify it, then we can get this taken care of. Even in saying that, hardly anybody does. But that phrase, it does add credibility. I think you should be, you know, I think it should be a genuine suggestion. But in my experience, most people just, you know, they trust you. They see that test and they trust you. But it does acknowledge that we do have a vested interest, you know. And recommending that they verify it through an objective source, I think it does add some credibility to us, you know, to what we're doing. So, okay, last 60 seconds. Any final comments or thoughts on any of this? Okay, hopefully you guys learned something. I always appreciate, Bob, thank you for bringing that up. That was a great segue. That was kind of what I was thinking about discussing today anyway. So everybody else, be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. And I, as always, appreciate it very much. So thanks, everybody.